In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord Jesus came to earth in order to bring about the salvation of mankind. Therefore, our Lord's chief work is spiritual. And yet, we see again and again in the Gospels that our Lord performed many physical healings as well. But we should not understand these physical healings, such as we see in our gospel text for this day. We should not understand these physical healings as a distraction from Christ's true mission, as a diversion from his real and proper ministry. Rather, we should see these physical healings as a support of Christ's ministry. For in Christ's physical healings, we see a picture of the spiritual help and grace that he came to bring mankind. And so when we read of Christ restoring the sight of the blind, we should see a picture of how Christ opens the eyes of our hearts to see him for who he truly is. When our Lord makes the deaf to hear, we should see in that a picture of Christ opening our closed hearts and allowing us to hear his saving word. When our Lord makes the lame to walk, we see this as a picture of our Lord directing our feet into the way of peace. When he makes the mute speak, we see a picture of how the Lord opens our lips that our mouths may declare his praise. And when our Lord cleanses lepers, as we see in today's gospel text, in that healing of the lepers, we see a picture of how Christ cleanses us from the leprosy of sin. And therefore, in many ways, this kind of healing, the healing of a leper, is the chief picture of Christ's work that we can see. And so it is that the 10 lepers that are presented to us in today's gospel text are a picture of the entire human race. For all of humanity is oppressed by the leprosy of sin. Sin has alienated us from society and caused us to be outcasts as it did for leprosy in a literal physical way, so too does the leprosy of sin cause us to be outcasts from our true home, that is, with God. And so we encounter the lepers in today's text outside of society, outside of the camp, so to speak. This is an image of the human condition, that we are cast outside of the camp, outside of Eden, outside of the presence of God, unclean, unworthy to be in his presence, unable to help ourselves and bring about healing. And so we, like the lepers in the text, find ourselves completely dependent upon the Lord for healing. And the Lord does bring about healing for these lepers. He brings about healing through faith and through his word. And this is what's particularly fascinating about this healing account, this healing of the 10 lepers, because it is not like most of our Lord's other healings in the Gospels where he would lay hands on someone or rebuke a fever, place his hands on someone's eyes and tell them directly to be opened. There is no direct command of healing here. There is no laying on of hands. In fact, there is not even a record of Christ exhibiting compassion toward these people, though he probably felt it, but it's not recorded for us in the scripture. Something is different here. Christ does speak a word, but it's a word of invitation, a word that requires obedience and trust. Go show yourselves to the priests. You are a leper, but go anyway. It's an invitation to trust in what these men cannot see, that they would be healed. And to some extent, all 10 of these lepers believed in Christ and trusted his word. They departed, and as they were going, in their obedience even, on their way to Jerusalem, they were healed. It's at this point that the Samaritan leper is singled out. Now, it shouldn't surprise us to find Samaritans and Galileans mixed together in a group based on the geography of where Christ is. We're told that he is passing between the region of Galilee and Samaria, kind of on the border. And so it's not surprising that outcasts from the surrounding towns, lepers, both Galileans and Samaritans, who were not able to remain in their respective societies and towns, found community together here outside of the camp, outside of the town. We're not actually told whether this was the only Samaritan in the group or whether there were more. Ultimately, that detail is not so much important. What is important is that this man was a Samaritan, which makes it curious that Christ would command him to go to Jerusalem and show himself to the priests. But when this Samaritan arrived in Jerusalem and tried to enter the temple, what would he find? Well, he would not find any help, because as a Samaritan, he was not allowed in the temple. He was not allowed to do what Leviticus chapter 14 prescribed that a leper who was cleansed ought to do. Among other things, the lepers who were cleansed were instructed to offer a lamb as a guilt offering. But this Samaritan would have been barred from offering the proper sacrifices for his cleansing. So why does Christ command him to go to Jerusalem? Well, perhaps our Lord commanded this Samaritan to go to Jerusalem for another reason, so that he might see and experience firsthand that the Mosaic law could not help him. Though he was cleansed of his leprosy outwardly, he was still an outcast, still outside of the camp, unable to enter into the place where God allowed atonement to be made for sins. In going to Jerusalem, this Samaritan would see this. But in going to Jerusalem, the Samaritan would also see something else very important. For there was another who was on his way to Jerusalem at this very time. One who could not only heal the physical leprosy and the disease of the Samaritan, but one who could also heal his spiritual disease. For we're told at the beginning of our gospel text that the Lord Jesus himself was journeying to Jerusalem, and this for the last time. He was making his way to the place where he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. He was about to work out the salvation of mankind there in Jerusalem. In just a few short chapters in St. Luke's gospel, we read of Christ riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, fulfilling all the prophecies and the words that the Lord had spoken in the Old Testament. After that, Christ would go into the temple to cleanse it, to offer the teaching and instruction about the true temple that would be raised up, that is, the temple of his body. And there in Jerusalem as well, our Lord would institute a new covenant in his blood. But it's significant to note that Christ did not go to Jerusalem for Holy Week in order to remain in Jerusalem. For Christ went to Jerusalem so that he might be cast outside of the camp, led outside of the city, so that he might cleanse the sins of mankind through his death upon the cross. Christ went to Jerusalem so that he could be made like the outcasts, so that through him all men might be saved. In reflecting on this, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And so it is in our gospel text for this day that Christ heals this Samaritan leper of his physical disease. But that was not the true miracle. The true miracle was the faith. The faith that was given to this Samaritan so that he might have eyes to see Christ for who he truly is. That this is God in the flesh, the Lord's salvation, who has become human, just like you, just like me. This is Christ who humbled himself, being born of the Virgin, taking on our human flesh, being made an outcast, for he was despised and rejected by men. This is Christ who did all of this, who suffered all these things in order to bring all men to the Father, that you might be brought to the Father, though you do not deserve it. So it is that when faith sees Christ for who he really is, it cannot help but change. And this faith does bring about a change in this Samaritan leper. Having been invited to see Christ for who he is, this Samaritan's heart was changed. He worships Christ. He gives glory to God, and he walks away a changed man. And so it is that the life of a Christian must look different than the world. All 10 of the lepers were healed, but we know of only one whose faith remained and grew. For all we know, the other 9 went back to life as it was and were no better off, spiritually speaking. Thus, the Apostle Paul warns us in today's epistle text to not walk according to the flesh. Because if you walk according to the flesh, either you will end up trusting in the law or you will end up trusting in yourself, and neither of those things can save you. The apostle is clear. The flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. And so when our life begins to outwardly look like that of the world, this is a diagnostic that something is very, very wrong with us. And so Paul lists out a number of the works of the flesh. They can be roughly grouped into categories such as sexual sins, idolatry, an unhealthy trust in worldly medicine and healing, outbursts of anger, habitual disagreements and selfishness, drunkenness, addiction to drugs. If you find yourself plagued by one or more of these works of the flesh, stop ignoring it. Your flesh is contrary to the spirit. Your flesh, in its sinfulness, is seeking to undermine the work of the spirit. And the leprosy of sin is trying to take over, and it will destroy you if not cured. So what do we do when we begin to see these works of the flesh appearing, manifesting in our lives? The apostle is clear. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those of you who belong to Christ, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. What does that mean that you have to do when you see the works of the flesh welling up inside of you and bursting out? It means that you accept Christ's invitation to join the Samaritan leper in journeying to Jerusalem and the cross. Not, of course, in a literal way that you need to hop on a plane and go to the Middle East. But we journey to Jerusalem and the cross by journeying to where the fruit of the cross comes to us. For Christ still brings about cleansing from sin through his word. And he invites you to see him for who he truly is as he serves you in his divine service. He invites you to see him as true God and true man who suffered and died so that you might be cleansed from the leprosy of your sin. And so we come to the divine service not to be made so that we might feel good, not to get some encouragement for the week, that we might make it through another 7 days, although if that happens, that is fine. No, we come here to this place so that our lives might be changed, so that, like the Samaritan leper, we might be cleansed. For Christ has entered into your life. He has entered into your suffering and pain in order to cleanse and heal you. He desires you to be free from the works of the flesh that consume you. He desires to give you his fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this fruit of the Spirit does not replace the works of the flesh by happenstance or by accident, as if you just wake up one morning and everything has changed. There's work that needs to be done, a continual returning to the cross, dying to self, confessing your sin, striving to live a godly life as you are able, and grounding yourself daily in word and prayer. For Christ desires to work in you the same change of heart that we see in the Samaritan leper. May God grant such a change of heart to you by his Spirit for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.